Welcome to the Norris Group's Real Estate Radio Show, hosted by author, investor, money partner, and real estate educator, Bruce Norris. Equipping California real estate professionals for tomorrow's challenges.
Hi, thank you for joining us. This is Bruce Norris. Once again, we're joined by Leslie Appleton-Young, Chief Economist for the California Association of Realtors. Leslie, welcome back.
Thank you.
The lenders have dealt with the inventory that they've taken back this time in a little bit different way than the last cycle. And to me, it's not working. They basically are dictating to their local realtors the prices that the lender's inventory should be listed at, and it's not selling. Have you had any feedback of a little frustration of the REO agents?
Yes, I think there's really a tremendous amount of frustration. There's a common understanding that it's in everybody's best interest to move these properties either to another homeowner or to do some kind of workout so that the current homeowners can stay there. And they've just been, you know, it just hasn't worked as easily as it has in past cycles. So there definitely is a certain amount of frustration.
What you just said to me is very key. Move this property to another homeowner. In my mind, I wish the lenders would just forget about their due-on-sale clause and let loans that had fixed rates move to the next buyer willing to make a payment. What do you feel about that?
Yeah, no, I think, you know what, everything will help a little bit. And, there's no standard situation. I think the problem with some of the mortgages, and when you get into this issue of predatory lending and so on and so forth, is that after the rates adjust, it's probably a rate that may not be conducive to the type of homeowner that might want to get into that property. So that might be a problem. And I think in general, we're just going through a painful adjustment back to the future to a world where underwriting is rational.
That's got to be important to the future of our business, though.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I think in any type of market, you want to have people playing or operating in the market who have some skin in the game. And what we found out during the 2005-2006 boom is that rapid price appreciation trumps reality every time.
Sure.
Because it bails everybody out. The homeowner, the lender, the appraiser, I mean, everybody makes out okay because, hey, the property appreciated 20%, and even if we have to take the property back, I mean, everything is great. What we now know is there's a reason why you have, you know, solid underwriting and down payment criteria, and we're going to get back to that world, and I agree. I think it's overdue.
Usually in cycles, when you boom in price, the lenders get more generous as the boom gets stronger and stronger. So I don't anticipate this is the last time we've seen some silly financing, and I think we just probably need a decade breather before we go back to the same thing. And in a way, it's human nature.
Yeah.
The lenders will join that party again, maybe not in the same way, because this time we really did overdo it.
Right.
The realtors that are getting involved in short sales, it would seem like that would be something that would work, but as yet the lenders have probably not been very receptive to what they've been suggesting as well.
No, but I really do believe that as we get into the, you know, first quarter, second quarter of 2008, that you will see that change. You know, there's been a tremendous amount of uncertainty over the last 6 months about where the market's going and where financing is going. And now that you've got, you know, the B of A countrywide deal, you've got a Federal Reserve that is clearly poised to make more cuts, you have a president who's, you know, meeting with his Council of Economic Advisors to talk about stimulus packages, I think the uncertainty is starting to go down a little bit. I think what we're waiting for is to get some clear numbers from the investment houses in Wall Street so that we can just get the bad news over with and move on. I mean, it's the uncertainty that tends to kind of kill the market. So my guess is, and again, looking back at past cycles, it's always, you know, dire and horrible, and things get worked through. And I have no doubt that that will happen this time around. It's just taking some time.
I actually think this is the best possible scenario for California in the long run. We would not have been able to attract migration from other countries at the price level that we had. We wouldn't be able to have a beginner market get into the market where they were the future move-up buyers.
Right.
So this is really was a necessary step to get it to be more reasonable. A Sunday LA Times, I just looked at it yesterday. There were 1,250 houses advertised for auctions.
Wow.
How have auctions affected the realtor business?
You know, I'm not sure. I mean, there certainly are realtors who are involved in the auction business. It's not for everybody. You know, you need to show up at those auctions with a really big check in order to make things happen. So I don't think it's taking the place of kind of the market that disappeared. But there's no doubt that there are realtors certainly out in the Inland Empire who are involved in getting their clients homes through auctions and so on. So
actually,
absolutely.
The deposit's pretty, when you bid, it's $2,500.
Yeah.
And then you have to put it up to about 5%. But it is at risk, so
right,
it's a little
right.
riskier.
Right, it's just a little bit riskier, and people aren't really used to that, you know.
That's true. They're wanting to walk away with no...
nothing, right. No. So it is just a little bit. But, you know, and I do think, I mean, we haven't really talked about the overall economic situation yet. There's a lot of debate. Are we in a recession? Aren't we? I mean, I think it's kind of irrelevant. I mean, we want to get away from where we are right now into a more robust growth environment. So I think that's, again, adding to this kind of veil of uncertainty that's stalling things a bit. People don't want to overextend themselves when they don't know what their job situation is going to be 6 or 12 months in the future.
Do you see the California budget deficit as relevant to the real estate industry?
Yeah, I think it all is, because it's all part of, you know, fiscal spending, whether it's, you know, state government, local government, federal government. That's all part of the stimulus that keeps the economy going. So when you get into a situation where the state has to start laying people off and reducing its budget, that's a break on the overall statewide economy. So yes, it's obviously very relevant.
If you were in a debate with the governor, what would you say to any proposal that changed Prop 13?
You know, my association, the California Association of Realtors, doesn't have a position, on Prop 13 one way or the other. So since I'm here speaking for them, I guess my only caution would be, just in the years that I've worked here, Prop 13's a third rail. And I guess I would just be very, very cautious of approaching it, just because politically I can't imagine it being changed.
Okay.
And again, this is just kind of not an economic argument, but just a political observation, which I think it would be difficult to dispute. It's just part of the system at this point, and it would be very treacherous, and I would think impossible to get it changed at this point.
Sort of like reducing Social Security benefits on a national basis?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. Or the mortgage interest deduction, which I can give you the economic arguments for, no problem. But in terms of Prop 13, it's really dead on arrival, any change in that, as far as I can see.
I'm hoping they don't try to do a hybrid where the people that get the ding would be the non-owner occupant. Owner, that type of thing. But
right.
I see real estate as a likely target to raise some chips. I don't know how they're going to figure out how to do it, but I think they're going to try. So,
well, you know, and I think I can already start thinking about the arguments why not to do that, just because this is the sector of the economy that's being hit the hardest right
now.
That's
right. It would be the perfect bad time. But
yeah.
So, I mean, but lenders are doing the same thing in a way. They let everybody in with ridiculous programs, and now that people have to refi, there's no way to do it.
Right.
So,
right.
Thanks a lot.
Well, you know, and many of these homeowners, so I don't buy into the idea that none of these homeowners knew what they were doing. I think a lot of them did know what they were doing. And
thank you. I do, too.
Assumed that 15 or 20% price appreciation would be no problem, and they could either refinance or sell if they got into trouble with no problem. And all of those assumptions have disappeared. And I'm not negating, I mean, certainly there are some very egregious cases of loan fraud and predatory lending. So I'm not
I'm not saying that side doesn't exist, yes.
But I do think that this idea that nobody knew what they were doing is a little bit far-fetched.
Absolutely. And I think at some point people have to learn and have responsibility that they were part of the problem. And if it didn't work out, they need to step up and say, okay, I've learned. I'm not going to stretch my budget by aligning what I make on an application so I can get the home that's going to go up more. And that's what basically people were trying to do, was cram themselves into the biggest possible house.
Right, exactly. So I think the whole old saw that if it looks too good to be true, it probably is, mm-hmm. is relevant here as well.
When talking to realtors, are the sellers of homes or the people losing their homes, are they staying in the state by and large, or are we losing migration?
You know, I haven't seen any recent data on migration. I think they're really rolling over into the rental market.
Okay.
But again, there's a tremendous amount of variation county by county. And as we look at 2008, I think the key is going to be what happens to job growth. Because if we do tip over into a recession and you have people that are losing their, that are still employed, but they're losing their home because of an unanticipated increase in their mortgage payments, my thought would be they'd have every reason to just stay in the area, work and save and build back up again. But if we do tiptoe into a recession, which was the scenario that we had in the mid-90s, where you had that contraction in aerospace and defense, particularly in the Los Angeles area, there was an exodus because people had to leave to get jobs.
Mm-hmm.
So I think jobs is going to be the key there. And really that's the issue with the Central Valley. We need time for that region of the state to grow into its housing stock. You know, the housing stock is now ahead of the overall economy,
right,
if you will. So that's what the adjustment is going to be over the next 5 to 10 years.
You know, one of the things that's a little deceptive in this cycle is that employment rate has been looking pretty favorable, but under earnings by people fully employed certainly has existed. So if you're a builder, or if you're a realtor or a lender or an escrow or you name it, anything connected to our business had to have a decline in revenue.
Right.
Still fully employed, but earning 50% of what they were making before.
Right, absolutely. That's a good point. Yeah, the contraction in employment has been centered in construction and in the, you know, FIRE, the finance, insurance, and real estate sector.
Right, so they could still be considered employed, but when you look at what they made on a tax return, you could see that's almost like having a 30 or 40% reduction in the work staff.
Right, and my guess is you've got people picking up second jobs here and there.
Sure.
Just to make ends meet. So there's no discounting the pain, the painfulness of this adjustment. And you look at, again, you know, the news about Countrywide is very positive, but the number of people employed both at their headquarters in Calabasas and then up through the 101 corridor through, you know, Agoura and Westlake and Thousand Oaks is big. And I'm sure they're all wondering what this is going to mean for them,
mm-hmm.
If this deal goes through.
What are the realtors telling you about the mood of the buyer?
Well, really a couple things. Buyers are cautious. Nobody wants to buy before the bottom of the market.
Okay.
They're also very demanding. They have a lot of properties to look at. They want the property to be exactly what they're looking for. They want it to be in the primo best condition. In many areas, staging of homes, which was kind of limited to the very higher end markets in the past, is becoming kind of de rigueur. You know, let's get your old furniture out and put something in to really make a good impression. And all those things work. But certainly the buyer is in the driver's seat because there's just so much more on the market to look at. And prices have been softening. So
mm-hmm.
they are really expecting to get a lot for their money.
Does the news have an impact on what they do?
It does. And let me just say one other thing. I think to a certain extent buyers are disappointed that there's not a fire sale going on in many parts of the state.
Yeah.
I think that the headlines have created the expectation fact that I can walk into Hermosa Beach, California, and pick up a beachfront condo for nothing. And that's not what's happening.
Right.
You know, and if they want to get a bargain, they need to go, you know, way inland to an area that's saturated with new construction and foreclosures and developers who really want to get out of their inventory. But you go into the desirable communities, those prices, they're certainly down from what the sellers in those areas thought they could get or what homes were selling for 2 years ago. But in terms of being a quote-unquote bargain that the buyers are expecting, given all the headlines, it's not happening.
Mm-hmm. The traditional buyer in the past, let's say 10 years ago, how has that changed? How is the new buyer different from the person that was buying 10 years ago?
Well, if you look at kind of age cohorts, one of the interesting thing is that the Gen Xers and Ys are getting into real estate sooner.
Okay.
And maybe part of that is that the financing enabled them to do that. They didn't have to save for 5 years to get a down payment. But I also think it's reflective of the fact that they're very savvy. They want to do it themselves. They get on the internet. They are interested in educating themselves about housing, real estate, financing, and they're ready to make a move sooner because looking at their parents' generation, they see real estate as a key component of their long-term financial health.
Mm-hmm.
So I do think you have, I don't know if it's really shown up that much in the kind of median first-time buyer age, if you will, but there's no doubt that you've got this younger group interested in real estate sooner. You also have, in kind of the Latino market, multiple families coming together, and this was probably true 10 years ago, but just because it's a bigger part of the overall market now, it's more true today. You have two or three or four families coming together and pooling their resources to buy housing because, again, the reality is home ownership is a key component of a financial lifetime plan for most people.
Absolutely.
So those are a couple of observations.
Would you say that the buyer of today needs to understand or look at their purchase a little differently in 2008 than their predecessors?
Well, I think what they're going to find is that the hoops are higher in terms of being credit worthy.
Mm-hmm.
I also think they have to be extremely careful about the ability of their income to absorb adjustments in any flexible mortgage instrument that they take out over the lifetime that they expect to be in that home. So definitely buyer beware. Certainly having looked at mortgage rates for as many years as I have, my advice to any first-time buyer today would be take out a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage.
Absolutely.
I sound like Susie Orman, but she's absolutely right.
Oh, of course.
Take advantage of that and do that, and you'll have a payment that doesn't change every year. I think the other thing would be, unless it's in very extenuating circumstances, don't dip into that equity. You know, let that equity grow for you.
You know, you said something that is true. The payment doesn't change, but in relationship to earnings, it really does. It goes down.
Exactly.
So absolutely. 10 years later, that payment
right.
that was barely bearable seems like nothing.
Right. As a proportion of your total income, it goes down.
Absolutely.
Right.
So that's... and. We're very spoiled. We think that 6% loans are our birthright, too. But you and I have been around long enough to know that there was talk by very intelligent people in the 80s that we would never see anything less than 10.
No, and I think really the challenge is that when you look at affordability, it's rates, but it's also prices. And the reality is the increase in housing prices in California have created a situation where first-time home buyers are paying a greater percentage of their overall income for housing than the first-time buyer of 20 years ago did.
Mm-hmm.
So the overall, even though the rates are lower, which is great, the overall burden is greater because of that that tremendous increase in the median home price. I mean, the median home price in California today is well over twice what the national median is. So that's a lot to swallow.
Well, now typically, and I'm pretty familiar with these numbers, typically the buyer's mood changes during a boom cycle down to a bottom cycle where they may have the capacity to qualify, but they don't have the willingness to.
Well, they want to, they want to buy at the bottom. So there's a lot of people on the sidelines right now waiting to see what's going to happen in 2008, no doubt about it.
But the
other thing you have, and we haven't really talked about investors yet, but when you look at the central part of California, at the peak of the market, there were communities where the investor proportion of the market was very, very large, 25 to 50% of the sales. And I think you've clearly seen that demand diminish in today's market.
Well, actually, those we would calculate, because I'm an investor. I bought 6 houses last month, so I'm still an investor. But they were speculators, and they didn't have a plan. If it didn't go up 20%, they were not going to work out well. So, and that happens to speculation. It really does. Since being an investor is tougher when prices don't go up.
Right.
You don't get bailed out by making mistakes. You get hammered by it.
Right.
When we look back at 08, what do you think? How do you think it'll look in comparison to 07?
Well, I think it's going to be the year that transactions bottomed. We're forecasting a further decline in transactions in 08 of about 6%. As I said, we're now at about almost half the level of transactions that we had in 2005 and 2006, and I think they're going to go somewhat lower in 2008. And the big kind of pig in the python in 2008 is the mortgage resets in general, and particularly in that subprime group. And we'll be through not all of them, but the bulk of them in 2008. So I think we'll start to see the sun shining in 2009. But I think it's really, really important to look back at the cycles in the 80s and the 90s and to have realistic expectations about what a normal housing market is going to look like. And it's probably going to be transactions, around 450,000, something like that. It's not going to be back up to the 625,000 that we had in 04 and 05.
Mm-hmm.
And typically these cycles take about 4 to 6 years to kind of work themselves out. But I do think that once we get through 2008, that we'll be on the upside after that.
I want to get to some of these suggested solutions or coming to the rescue. Some of them have unintended consequences, I think. So what is your feeling of, say, freezing the subprime rates at the teaser rate?
I think the idea of freezing the rates for a couple of years and then having them adjust is good for some homeowners.
Okay.
I mean, if it keeps that inventory out of that potential inventory out of the pool for 2 years, that's going to be beneficial for the market. You're also going to have a family that continues to have a home to live in. I think the challenge is locating who owns that mortgage, and that's really, this whole issue of the mortgage conduits, where these mortgages have been sliced and diced and sold and resold. So it's not like the movie It's a Wonderful Life, where George Bailey's savings and loan makes the loan and holds the mortgage until the homeowner pays it off. We have a much more sophisticated financial system today, and that kind of worked against us in this market, because you can't just sit down with one person and renegotiate. So I think all of the ideas that are being floated out there have pluses and minuses. I think everything can help a little bit, but I don't think there's any way to avoid this transition that we're going through, because part of the issue may be liquidity. And certainly when you look at what happened in August and September with the jumbo market, that was liquidity. But the other thing you can't ignore is that there are a lot of bad loans out there that need to get worked through the system, and it's going to take time.
Absolutely.
So none of these Band-Aids is going to reverse that reality.
Once again, I'm so glad you joined us. I really enjoy our interviews, and you gave us a lot of insight at what's happening in our market. So thank you so much, Leslie.
Bruce, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Okay. Take care.
Join Bruce Norris and the Norris Group team in Los Angeles at the Partners Resource of America Los Angeles chapter for California market timing information February 5th and then February 9th for Bruce's one-day California-only investor intensive course. Learn what buy-sell strategies work in the current market and how to put yourself in the way of money in a down market. Visit www.thenorrisgroup.com to find out more or call the office at 951-780-5856.
You've been listening to the Norris Group's Real Estate Radio Show. For more information on the Norris Group, please visit www.thenorrisgroup.com or email questions and or comments to radio@thenorrisgroup.com. We'll see you next week here on News Talk 590 KTIE.